Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose. Rose Colombo right here for you every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up, because today we have a very dynamic guest, and you will love listening to our very special guest, because he is a seasoned public relations publicist, and he's also an agent, and he knows everyone in the business. So you won't want to miss today's very special guest, Erwin Zucker, president of the Book Publicist of Southern California, out here in Sherman Oaks, right out in the valley, Los Angeles County. You know, if you're looking to be an aspiring author, a bestseller, or you're looking to maybe write a book for your family, for yourself, everyone says, I'm going to write a book, but most people don't write a book. So if you're looking for inspiration and information, or you're looking for publicity, Erwin Zucker is the go-to person to go to. He's been in the business for more than 40 years, and he has been president of the Book Publicist of Southern California for over 40 years as well. So you will not want to miss this wonderful opportunity to find out more about Erwin Zucker's personality. Everyone loves Erwin. You heard of Everyone Loves Raymond? Well, everyone loves Erwin. And that's I-R-W-I-N. So there's so many things happening in our country that everyone seems to be writing a book. So about one thing or another, because we have so many issues. I mean, people are so concerned about their freedom, their liberty, their rights, their constitution. It appears that the leaders of the world don't care about the Constitution of the United States. They don't care about freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of thought, freedom to assemble peacefully, freedom to protest peacefully. Well, the American people care, at least the majority of American people care. And everyone who is concerned needs to call their representatives every day. Call them. Pick one every single day. Go down the list. You can Google their names and their phone numbers very easily. You can Google their email addresses. You can Google them on Facebook and message them, unless you are a right-winger, because they seem to like to ban right-wingers from Facebook and Twitter, as we all know. That's very, very sad, because one of my issues is, how can a CEO of a corporation control the Constitution of the United States and freedom of speech, or any other freedoms, liberties, and rights that are guaranteed to the American people, the legal Americans, and also established by the Constitution of the United States of America and the Bill of Rights, all of which are supreme laws of the land that cannot be superseded by recommendations such as the recommendations given by certain agencies. These supreme laws of the land should never, ever be trampled upon, ignored, or violated, and people in public office do not have the legal, lawful, constitutional right to exempt themselves from the unconstitutional laws that they are allowing CEOs to mandate upon the nation, such as denying freedom of speech to all Americans who they oppose for their personal and political preferences. That's not right. This is America. We have freedom of speech for a reason, so that we can hear everyone's views, everyone's ideas, everyone's opinions, and then we can bring it, pull it all into our brains, and we can do our research, our homework, and come to our own personal conclusions. And that is what America has always done. Never seen this this terrible bashing between legal, natural-born Americans in our history because someone voted for a different party. What difference does it make? This is why we have the United States Constitution. This is why we live in America, so we can vote for whoever we want without fear of retaliation by the government or by civilians. It's just crazy. So anyway, talking of freedom of speech, why don't we just get started with our very special guest right after this important message, and we will then enter into the world of authors and experts.
Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you. But some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure.
Yeah.
Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and we're about to enter into the world of authors and experts and book publicists as well. Today, we have the fabulous Erwin Zucker, who is a seasoned book publicist and the founder of the Book Publicists of Southern California. Let's say hello. Hi, Erwin. How are you today?
Oh, well, thank you for that wonderful eulogy. I appreciate it, you know, saying fabulous, you know. But that's great.
Well,
but
I
appreciate you inviting me to be on the show today. But we're going to surprise you. We're going to turn the tables, if you don't mind. I'm going to interview you for a change. Is that okay with you?
You're going to interview me? Well, that's a
twist.
Well,
I'll tell you why. I want to interview you. You've done thousands of interviews over the years, and I've worked with thousands of authors over the years, but a lot of people don't know a lot of personal things about you. You do a great job on radio and television and public speaking, but a lot of the people listening to us right now don't know about your background, where you were born, where you were raised, how you got into this broadcasting field. Well, they don't know much about your invasion of the health field, you know, working with different companies and all the awards that you've gotten. So I think it's only fair that the people who listen to you should know more about you, because you're a little shy in that department.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, it's always hard to talk about yourself because, you know, you feel like people think that you're bragging, you know, or so you are boasting. You know? So people have a hard time talking about themselves.
Right, right. Well, that's true. A lot of people just don't like talking about themselves. They don't think it's right. But I think it's information that the public wants to know. So do you mind if I ask you a couple of quick questions? And if they're too personal, just say, Erwin, it's too personal. You know, get off my back. The first thing I'd like to know about you, Rose Colombo, where were you raised? Were you raised on the East Coast, in the South of the United States, or the Midwest, or in California? Where were you born, and where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up here in California, and I spent a lot of time with my grandparents who came here from Italy, Sicily and Naples areas, and they came here legally, kissed the ground. Because I listened to my grandparents' stories a lot. They kissed the ground. They were so happy. They were just kids. They were married in Italy before they came here because you couldn't take the daughter unless you married her first to America. And they came here for opportunity. They came here to build a life and to work and to earn enough money to buy their American dream, which was a home. They had 10 children. They reached their American dream. They lived in the same house after they bought it for 40-some years. And it was a time that bonded me to family life and how important family life is and how important the wisdom of grandparents are, because they have history behind them and they have truth, and you can learn so much from your grandparents or your great-grandparents, and they shouldn't be discarded or dismissed. And so those were the best times of my life, and the best memories was helping Grandma making pizza and spaghetti. And so that taught me, you know, family life. And then I went to Catholic school. So they were pretty strict, and they taught you discipline and how to work. If you got a C or below, you had to stay after school and write 100 times on the board, you know, whatever they told you to write. And although they were strict, I'm glad they were strict, because it taught us to survive. No matter what happens in life, you can survive, and it taught us discipline. And so I think that's very important, because I consider myself like a jack of all trades, a multitasker, and I believe that you have to survive by having more than one skill, especially in this day and age. Because there's so many, there's such a fast pace of turnover in the, you know, in the job market. So you have to be able to survive. So that led me to going to college, and after college, I landed a job as a stenographer for the sheriff, the captain of the sheriff's department, and then after that particular job. In between, I married and had children, but after that particular job, I landed another great job, and that was the administrative assistant to the chief of psychiatry at Harbor Hospital. That was a great job, and I learned from the sheriff's department about the law. I learned about a few bad apples, and I learned about how great and hardworking most of the law enforcers are, and I learned about crimes and things that, you know, an innocent young girl like myself was shocked about. But I was learning all the time about the world, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went on to work in psychiatry, where I learned a lot about prescription drugs and about people who were mentally ill. And just in case you would like to know, Erwin, I received a letter of commendation from Governor Brown for my work with a particular patient there. And along with the doctors and who were helping that particular patient, which I still have to this day, which was a great honor. And from there, I went to, I was promoted to the administrative assistant to the medical director of the hospital of respiratory therapy. So I learned about medicine as well and about the respiratory system. And so that's why all these things that I learned on the job and in college, just, you know, and in Catholic school and with grandparents, made me who I am today. And one of the things I never, ever could tolerate was injustices. And so even as a child, so my favorite story was Joan of Arc. So when I was going through a 15-year divorce, and it was just, they called it the most horrendous divorce in Orange County. It led to finding out about injustices. And as I learned about my firsthand experience with injustices, I decided that suddenly, well, this is America. I was brought up to believe in justice and that judges were objective and lawyers were fair and they defended their clients and we would get the justice that we came to court to get. Well, that wasn't happening. Well, there went my my light bulb went off, and this is when I started to realize that I cannot be the only one that these injustices are happening to. So that's when I decided I would write a book and start, and I founded a grassroots movement called Women Fight Back to help women and children across this country become survivors. If you were a victim of an injustice or legal abuse, I was guiding them and helping and counseling them on becoming survivors and becoming part of the grassroots movement, change laws,
Rose,
which we did.
Rose, a major question of mine is, how did you get involved with broadcasting? As growing up in high school and college, were you thinking of being a star on radio or television? Or how did you get involved with broadcasting?
Well, every little girl dreams of that, you know, but no, that wasn't my goal. I wanted to be a journalist. That's what I studied in school, and I loved to write, and even as a child, I wrote poems, and I did continue with my poetry that was published and won many awards as well, but this is where I was coming into that part of how I ended up with producing and hosting cable television show and AM/FM radio shows in Southern California was through this organization. It just all snowballed. The organization started getting attention. I was getting newspapers, national and local, were writing about my organization, about me, and what we were doing, and they were following us, and I was on the news many times. And then I decided that these injustices were not something that the mainstream media wanted to talk about. So I wanted to help the victims, and so I would invite, so I went to classes, and I learned how to produce my own shows. And also radio shows. So I did the same shows on radio that I did on cable TV. And so I would invite victims of injustices. I was probably maybe the first reality show, invite victims of injustices, and then I would invite a lawyer or a politician and our community leader, and we would discuss the story of a person who had been a victim of injustice.
Rose, what were some of the radio stations that you worked on? Just give us a few of the stations that you worked on and which ones you enjoyed the most.
Well, I enjoyed KGER, which was a Salem syndicated radio show. And then I also enjoyed KIEV 878M, which was the same station George Putnam was on, if anybody remembers him. And this was during the 90s and early 2000s. And I thoroughly enjoyed radio. And I was on KWNK, which was an affiliate of ABC, and then KORG in Orange County and KYMS in Orange County. And the title of the first shows was Women Fight Back, but then men were coming to me as well and saying, well, this happened to me. So I changed the title to Issues of the Day. So my radio shows were Issues of the Day, and my cable TV show was Issues of the Day. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I just loved it. It was like purging these issues that people had nowhere to go with.
Everybody still loves you, Rose. Now, Rose, how did you you started with poetry before you were starting to write short stories or a novel? Are you still writing poetry? And do you think that poetry can change the world? Tell us about how you got involved from poetry to writing books and how you achieved success with Fight Back Legal Abuse, how to protect yourself from your own attorney. And also I want to know about your attitude towards attorneys. So it's all yours for the next minute or two or three.
Well, actually, I loved writing as a child. I was an introvert. I was very shy. But for some reason, when I see some children being cruel to other kids, I would speak up, which wasn't in my personality to speak up, but I would. And my favorite story, as I said, was Joan of Arc for some reason as a kid. And I just admired her so much for fighting for justice. And then I always wrote poems, and people would always compliment me on my poems. But, you know, you never know that, you know, how people are going to react, and you never think your writings will bring that kind of attention. And so I just kept writing poems, and they started getting published in the newspapers like the LA Times and the Orange County Register and local newspapers. And and then I start writing short articles, and then the LA Times picked them up, the Orange County Register picked them up, and local newspapers again. And so after I became a whistleblower through this, the injustices that were happening to me in the court system, I met with senators, I met with congressmen, I met with the FBI. This just snowballed. And what happened was I knew I needed to write a book and tell the stories of what was happening so that other people wouldn't feel alone. And they would know that they're not the only one, and that they're who were actually trying to make it better for everyone else, for our children and grandchildren, so it wouldn't continue. And so I would document everything, and eventually, because I had to work as well, between all of this, I had gone back to school for as a to get my license as an esthetician and as a professional makeup artist. And I went through the Dermal Institute and postgraduate of the Dermal Institute and attended many classes by plastic surgeons and doctors. And so I learned a lot about skincare too. I say life is all about learning. Just never stop learning. So I opened up an institute for beauty, and I ended up in Cosmopolitan and Mademoiselle and others in my city. And the nurses, I had a lot of nurses that would come to me, and they said I had healing hands. And so it was, it just is in my genes to want to help heal people, I guess. And so when I would do the facials, the nurses would say, my God, you have healing hands. And so all of these things just kind of meshed together. So I was able through those licenses to land jobs as a national beauty professional, traveling around the country when I sold my shop. And so you just have to be able to be flexible and use your skills to do other things and continue to do your passion, which allowed me to do my passion, which was the cable TV shows, the radio, and the writings. And so I took me 10 years, Erwin, to write Fight Back Legal Abuse. And and so that was the first book, and I got the Erwin Award, which I was very proud of. And it also hit, it was also featured in the Daily Law Journal, just about everywhere, and on national radio. And you also helped me promote the book as well. And the college professor said, "This, you should put your book in the college library." And so then it led to the second book, which is Obamacare, Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals, which is a political satire on
that's a beauty.
Depopulation and redistribution of wealth. And in the meantime, the poetry, I have many books with the poetry published in it. There were awards from bronze medals and just all sorts of different awards that came to me. And so it wasn't planned. None of it was planned.
Yes, but Rose, along the way, you had some conflicts with attorneys. What is your generalization of most attorneys in this country? What do you think of them? Are there a lot of bad ones? Are there good ones? Are there in-between ones? What is your conception of attorneys in our country?
Well, I personally experienced all of the above. I experienced some of the best lawyers ever and who truly wanted to help and really did help. But there are so many powers in our country and levels of power that sometimes good lawyers are stopped from bringing forth justice. If the judges or the other side is unethical and is involved in wrongful acts to take people's property and money and children and all of it, all of the above, it's all true stories. So there are very good lawyers. And God bless them because they do help people. But and the public defenders, what would they do without them? But there are lawyers who should not be lawyers. They should not be lawyers because they are hurting people rather than helping them. And so it's like any profession. You have to do your homework. Don't hire the first lawyer. Go out and interview three lawyers. And then use your gut feeling and ask him questions. Interview the lawyer because they're not going to ask you for $7. They're going to ask you for $7,000 to retain them or more. So you don't want to hire the wrong lawyer. And ask people, ask friends, ask coworkers, have you ever hired a lawyer? do you know of a good lawyer? And I think, you know, personal references are excellent. And then you can call the state bar and ask if there's any complaints against the lawyers. So you have to do your homework.
Oh, boy,
you know,
those are good things. By the way, I'd like to tell your audience that I am Erwin Zucker. I'm a book publicist. I've been a book publicist for almost 65 years, believe it or not.
65.
I'll be 94 years old tomorrow, so but I'm still working around the clock, and I had the pleasure of working with you on Fight Back Legal Abuse, How to Protect Yourself from Your Own Attorney. And it was great getting you on radio and TV and all the exposure shows. You did a great job. By the way, 45 years ago, I became the founder of the Book Publicists of Southern California, which you have promoted very nicely over the years with your various radio shows. And you are a member of our group. And you won an award. You won an Irwin Award, Irwin, I-R-W-I-N. It was named after me by members of the organization. And you not only won the award once, you won it twice. Am I right?
Yes, I did. Thank God. Yes, that was fantastic. I think I'm only one of two or three people that won it twice. And I really appreciate it.
Only two of our members have won it twice. And speaking of the Book Publicists of Southern California, I hope you don't mind if I tell your audience about a terrific program we've got tomorrow on September 23rd. We're having a Zoom program, and we'd like to invite any of your listeners to attend by phone, naturally, in the comfort of their home or their office. I'll give them a number that they can call and get more information. But we are honoring five members of our organization, five authors who unfortunately have passed away recently. One of them was my wife, Deborah Hill Zucker. She wrote several books, but she passed away in March, and we will be honoring her with some other authors that you might know. Rose, Geraldine Saunders, the very famous cruise director, and she wrote a terrific book called The Love Boats, and that inspired a TV show of the same name, and that did very well. We're going to also honor Mark Kingston Levin. I believe you interviewed him. He was a famous science fiction author. He delved into the 30th century to see what would be happening in years ahead. And then the fourth person we're going to be honoring was a gentleman named Dan Poynter, who worked out of Santa Barbara. And he wrote over 100 books on varied subjects. And one of his biggest books was called The Self-Publishing Manual. And we're going to have a former president of the Book Publicists, Barbara Gahn, deliver a eulogy to him. And then the fifth person we're going to honor is a famous author in the memory field. You might recall the name Arthur Bornstein, who passed away 2 years ago at the age of 91, and he wrote a book, a big bestseller called Memory Training Course, and his son, Scott, will deliver sort of a eulogy tomorrow. So if any of your listeners would like to attend by just staying at home, they can stay in the comfort of their home or office. Let me give out my phone number. They can call me in about an hour or so from now. Irwin Zucker, I-R-W-I-N, Zucker, Z-U-C-K-E-R. They can call me at area code 323-461-3921, and I'll give them more information about attending. It's free, but for 2 hours, you'll get a real education in the book publishing field. Or if they can't call my number, I'll give them a number that's in San Jose, 1-669-900 9128, and they can get more information. But we're so happy, Rose, that you have done so much for the Book Publishers of Southern California. You've done so much for authors throughout the United States that you've interviewed. I don't know if you've counted how many authors you've done, probably into the thousands over the years.
Oh,
how many
yeah.
years would you say you've been a broadcaster? How many years?
I've been a broadcaster, let's see, like 2 and 9. 31 years.
You're 31 years young as a broadcaster, and you still love it. You do it.
I love the people. I love helping them promote their information. I love learning from them. I love our audience being able to learn from them, just like they're learning from you now. I think that communication is one of the most important things we have. You know why I fight against freedom of two giant techs out there who suppress freedom of speech by people such as myself and other people who have different points of view than they do. And I totally am a fighter for freedom of speech because we are in communications. People need to get their information out, whether you agree with it or not. It expands the mind. It gives us something else to think about. None of us have all the answers. Maybe our answers are wrong. Maybe we should look at somebody else's thoughts. And I believe that suppressing information from international doctors or senators or GOP because you don't agree with their personal information should never happen in the United States of America. Those doctors have information we may need that save lives. That president of the United States is the most powerful man in the world. No CEO should tell him he cannot speak to the American people. This is so wrong, Erwin, and that's why I'm in communications, and that's why I fight against injustice, fight for the Constitution. I do not hate lawyers or judges or anything. Like, I don't hate anyone. I am about advocating for justice and for the Constitution for our children, our grandchildren, if you have great-grandchildren, whatever, for future generations. Freedom of speech is everything. If we don't have freedom of speech, we are no longer the United States of America, and that is a very scary thought. And so I'm so happy that what happened, how I met you, was because of all the injustices that happened to me. Are you there? Hello. Hello. It looks like we got cut off, darn it. Let's see if he can hear me.
But hope we didn't lose our audience because
Hello.
It's been a very interesting conversation. Yeah, oh, this is Erwin Zucker.
We got cut off for a second. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, we got cut off. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you now.
Yeah, okay.
But I think they I was talking away about the Constitution and freedom of speech and communication. And I did want to say that the part of my story was that the crazy part about it is I wouldn't have met you or I wouldn't have known about the Book Publishers of Southern California if I hadn't had all those injustices happen to me because I met someone who was a member of the Book Publishers and they invited me to the meeting. And so it is a small world, isn't it?
It's a small world, isn't it? But we love it. We love your world of poetry. We love your world of broadcasting and your great family, lady. By the way, Columbo, there are some famous Columbos in the history of the United States. Are you related to some of these famous Columbos?
I think all the Columbos are related.
Well, they spell it a little differently sometimes. So you're C-O-L-O-M-B-O, and some of the Columbos are C-O-L-U-M-B-O. Maybe you guys are related. But anyhow, are you working on a new book, Rose?
I am working on a few books. I'm working on one about how the virus affected our nation, and I'm almost done with that one. I'm relaunching Obamacare Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals within the next month under a new title called Obamasaurus, because I think it's very timely right now with the depopulation and the redistribution of wealth. And then also that's alive and well around the world everyone's talking about. And then I'm writing my memoirs and how I ended up being an advocate.
You just love it. When is your most creative writing? Are you a morning lady or the evening, afternoon? When do you do your writing?
I love, when I was younger, I used to like writing at night. But now, of course, I had children too. So, but now I love getting up very early, like 4:30 in the morning, when it's quiet, having a cup of coffee, and just writing.
Uh-huh.
And
You've won so many awards. Which one are you most proud of?
Well, I have to say the Irwin Award, of course, and I'm very proud of those.
The Irwin
Award,
what about
your
poetry awards?
It's a great honor to be about, you know, it's such an honor to be around so many fabulous people who are doing great things. I won, I was honored with so many different conferences as well. I was in the marquee. I was chosen in the marquee Who's Who in the World, Who's Who of American Women. I was Poet Fellow Bronze Medal winner of the Nobel House in London and England, England and New York, for my poem "There Is a Mountain." And I've won so many different awards. It's hard to say, you know, which one you like the best, because I like them all. The Jeannie Angel Award, which is the Southern California Motion Picture Council. They gave me an award for my work on humanitarian issues.
It keeps you young.
Oh, yeah.
Are your daughters interested in writing? Are your daughters interested in writing?
Yes. One of them is, Holly is very interested. She's very creative. She's a painter.
What about traveling? Where do you like to travel? Have you been to Europe lately?
Well, in 2018, thank God, before all this hit. And I don't like to travel with mask on, so I'm so happy I went.
Well, I mentioned that because your writing is just in my opinion, I think you do a great job, and you help authors a lot, give them a chance to say what they want. You give them a platform, in other words. You're so generous in welcoming authors to your show. By the way, Rose M. Colombo, what does the M stand for?
Marie.
Oh, is that it? Uh-huh.
That's it, Rosemary. But nobody calls
I noticed. I'm so happy you talk about Irwin Awards from time.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Rose M. Colombo, Irwin Award winning author.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's great. I really appreciated it very much.
You know,
Rose, I think I've taken up too much of your time, but it was a delight interviewing you. I thought we'd surprise you because you do such a great job interviewing authors on your show. It's just great the way you dig into them and everything. But I think I've got appointments. I'm still conducting a public relations office for books and authors. I'm quite busy.
Amen.
And I know you probably want to get other messages across, but I can't thank you enough for letting me interview you, because I think your audience wants to know more about you, about your award. how you are constantly fighting for justice for everyone, which is a wonderful thing. So do you mind if I excuse myself? I've taken up enough time, and I'm sure that you want to get across a lot of messages to your audience. So I do want to thank you for your time.
Thank you for the surprise.
And thanks for inviting. Well, it's great.
I didn't get to interview you very much, but thank you for interviewing me. That was a surprise.
Right. Well,
nice,
thank you very much. I hope you'll join us at our book publicist event tomorrow, which is Thursday the 23rd. It's an easy day for me to remember, September 23rd. I've never forgotten it since I was born 94 years ago. I celebrate it every year, and it's a lot of fun. I hope to go for another 94 years. Yeah.
I hope
all right.
So
well, listen.
You're still young.
Right now, and I want to let you talk about your show, and you probably have some political messages you want to get across to your audience, and I'm sure that
I think we have a technical problem. So we'll just say goodbye to Erwin. Erwin has left the building. He's invited you to Zoom. He's invited you to call him to join us on Zoom tomorrow. And I've known all of these wonderful people on who have passed away. Deborah Heelzuker was Erwin Zucker's wonderful, wonderful wife, a sweetheart. She was 86, and they were married 63 years. And so that is a miracle in itself in this day and age. And so Geraldine Sanders, age 96, when she passed, she brought us that wonderful, wonderful show, The Love Boat, and everyone enjoyed it. It was very, very popular. And then Dan Pointer, he was 77. He was a publisher and an author, and he was the first one to begin encouraging people to do self-publishing. And Arthur Bornstein, he was 91, pioneer in the memory field. And his book was extremely, extremely popular, bestseller. So through the Book Publicists of Southern California, you can meet people who are of like mind, with same interests, or similar interests in getting your message out, or your fictional story, or your true story, or just writing for yourself in general. Everybody has a story. And I remember a young girl telling me, well, I just don't have the time, but I've always wanted to write a book. And I said, well, do you have a lunch hour every day? And she said, oh, yeah, we get an hour. And I said, well, what if you wrote a page every day on your lunch hour for 365 days? How many pages would you have? She said, 365. And I said, exactly. I said, that's a book. And she said, oh, my gosh, I never thought of it that way. So sometimes people have ideas to give to other people that can help them on the road to their success or to reach their dream. And on that note, I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to come back, and I am going to enter into the world of authors and experts. And I was so surprised that Erwin Zucker interviewed me and turned the tables on me, but at least we got to hear about Erwin Zucker. Everybody loves Erwin.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right. Be sure to bring your appetite to the Horseshoe Cafe. You will not be sorry. If you like homemade cooking, that's the place to go. I have a little bit of information here I think that you might enjoy hearing about. It's called The Law of the Land, and someone sent it to me. And we're all concerned about the law of the land as well as our health. This one says, the general misconception is that any statute passed by legislators bearing the appearance of law constitutes the law of the land. The United States Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and any statute to be valid must be in agreement. It is impossible for a law which violates the Constitution to be valid. This is succinctly stated as follows. All laws which are repugnant to the Constitution are null and void. Marbury versus Madison, 5 U.S. 2 Cranch, 137, 174, 176, 1803. This is a very important statement because, and a very important law, because Americans aren't realizing that the Congress is the only body who can make laws. But Congress has been grossly negligent, in my opinion, on how they are not making constitutional law, but not reading the laws because they did not read, by their own admittance, 2,700 pages of Obamacare, which included mandates, laws, regulations, penalties, fines, taxes, punishments, mandated taxpayer-funded abortions worldwide paid by the American, not disclosed to the American people, mandated taxpayer-funded vaccinations, which they did not disclose to the people, requiring the American people to pick up the tab worldwide for Big Pharma's vaccinations and for Planned Parenthood's abortions. Personally, I am not into mandating vaccinations for anyone. I believe that the HIPAA laws are being violated. I believe, in my opinion, that the Nuremberg codes are being violated. I believe that human rights are being violated. Civil rights are being violated. EEO, employment laws, are being violated. The necessities of life laws are being violated. Executive orders were never intended to make laws. Only Congress can make laws. And they can't just write a law. They can't just amend the Constitution. They can't just approve 2,700 pages of laws, mandates, regulations they've never read, but they did it. And that's why I said, in my opinion, they have been grossly negligent and derelict in their duties. And many of them are lawyers and they know better. If you're a member of Congress, you should know better. Presidents of the United States should know that executive orders were never intended to make laws. They were intended to write regulations and mandates for administration issues. So we are allowing people in public office who we elected or they were appointed and we pay with our hard-earned tax dollars to go rogue and ignore the laws of the land and hold themselves above the laws of the land. this is wrong. It's very wrong because it's hurting the American people. People should have their unalienable, God-given right to choose whether they want to be used as a human lab rat willingly is okay. By choice is okay. But not forced. That is not okay. There are people who have allergies and can die from chemicals being injected into their arm. And there are people who don't know they do, and there are people who do know they do because they landed in the hospital or near death. And some wonderful doctors saved them. There are people who have pre-existing conditions. They cannot, their body will not be able to tolerate certain chemicals or therapies, whatever is in the particular injections. There are people with very weak immune systems. Chemicals affect the immune system. And even though it says FDA approved, that doesn't mean that there aren't people who won't drop dead immediately, weeks away, months away, or 1, 2, 3 years or more away. But they are protected from being sued for criminal or personal or financial lawsuits for damages for death or injury because the HHS secretary in 2004 signed off on a statute 247D-6D that stated that anyone involved with FDA, Big Pharma, experimental and trial injections had 100% immunity from financial liability, and therefore they cannot be sued. You can sue them, but it's a waste of time because they have been granted 100% immunity to these private corporations. And why are government officials granting 100% immunity to private corporations who have stated in their documents that there are unknown consequences to vaccines and to experimental and trial injections? So if they stated that and they've written it because it's true, which is one of the only truthful things they've actually come out with so far, then people should definitely be able to have an unalienable right to free will and free choice. No one should be forced to be a human lab rat. Every American should be able to choose. If you want to be vaccinated or you want to be injected with a trial and experimental injection, that should be your choice. And no one else should have anything to say about it. It is a medical procedure. And that should be between you and your doctor. And it should be confidential. Your employer should not have access to your medical records or control over your body and mind and use fear of firing you from your job because you do not want to be a human lab rat. Time in history when Americans are having the government state that they have control over your mind and your body and that of your minor children, and they don't care if you have allergies. They don't care if you have pre-existing conditions. They don't care if you want to exercise the Fourth Amendment because you fear that the chemicals may harm you because their own Pfizer and Moderna, et cetera, records state there are unknown consequences to the human body, and they cannot guarantee that the person will not drop dead after they're vaccinated or get blood clots or brain injury or heart attack or stroke or have some chronic illness for the rest of their lives, which happened with Gardasil, Lupron, smallpox, and formaldehyde, what is it, thalidomide, and swine flu vaccine. And they pulled them because people were being chronically injured or made sterile or paralyzed or hospitalized or died. Just like when Gates and WHO went to India and over 400,000 children either were paralyzed or died or were injured emotionally, paralyzed. So the government is prohibited by constitutional law from using anybody's body as a human lab rat for case studies for big pharma, who has 100% immunity and no liability if they injure you temporarily, permanently, or if you die and they cut your lifespan short. These rights come from God, not from Big Pharma, not from CDC, not from the WHO director, not from all these investors who are in the business of vaccines and are earning billions and billions of dollars and need a built-in customer base, which are human beings, to be used as human commodities or human lab rats for human capital. So that's my opinion. You can have your own opinion. Do your own homework, do your own research, come to your own conclusions, but choose wisely and do what's good for you. Nobody's judging you. Nobody cares. Do what's right for you, but nobody in America should be forced by the government or by Big Pharma, CDC, WHO, or anyone else to be jabbed against their will. The Constitution prohibits slavery, servitude, using people as chattel and property, and forcing them against their will to do something they believe will harm them. There are certain people that absolutely know they cannot, their bodies cannot tolerate certain chemicals. Bye. So God bless you, and God bless America, and stand up for your unalienable God-given rights at birth, free will, free choice, and all your U.S. constitutional rights established by the supreme laws of the land, guaranteed to every American not to be violated by elected or appointed officials. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.